Hey folks, I'm Michael Phillips, the film critic of the Chicago Tribune, and I'm here in the WILL studios with this year's U of I College of Media Roger Ebert Fellows. I'm the advisor director of the fellowship, and this year's trio includes Hannah Brazos-Mata, Stephanie Weda, and Caroline Tadla. And we're here to talk about a film opening up on Valentine's Day, Bob Marley, One Love, which is the latest musical biopic to hit the theaters.
Reggae is a people music. People coming together. Ooh, yeah. You know you're a superstar. All right, we're jamming. I'm a superstar. I wanna jam it with you. Going on. We're jumping. You can't separate the music and the message. 'Cause every day we pay the price.
And what is the message?
Before we talk about that, you know, there's a lot of people who actually love Bob Marley and love reggae, and a lot of people who don't know Bob Marley at all and maybe have heard reggae by accident or in parodies. So, Hannah, can you just tell us a little bit about what Marley, Marley was, who he was, and what's up with his life and this movie?
Yeah, of course. So Bob Marley was a Jamaican musician who his legacy basically lives on for bringing reggae beyond Jamaica and making it popular all over the world. He sold over 20 million records throughout his career. And he also was an icon not only for the reggae genre, but also a symbol of peace for the world and Jamaica in troubled political times, which we'll get into more with Stephanie.
Yeah, he was able to go across the world and bring people together, not only in his home country of Jamaica, but across the United States and also in Africa. That was very important to him to have a symbolic home there, which was also represented in the film. The film takes place starting in 1976 at one of his first concerts, where eventually the turning point for his life will start. And it continues with a rich discography of his music and continues through his legacy across the world and his global reach of music, incorporating different influences from all the many places he visited, as we see throughout the film.
Kingsley Benadire plays Bob Marley, and Lashana Lynch plays his wife, Rita Marley, and it's directed by Ronaldo Marcus Green.
Stephanie, you mentioned the film takes place over just a handful of years, primarily in the mid-70s up until, well, it's mentioned that Marley dies at a very young age, 36, I think, 1981, of melanoma. But it also jumps back into time, as musical biopics do. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so when I was watching the film, I found it, even though it was in the short time frame and it only covered such a small part of his life, they were able to accomplish a goal of a film with the flashbacks. And when these flashbacks are initiated, there is sometimes a singing voice. I could not do a good rendition of that now, but they have this singing voice and the temperature becomes warm of the composition of what you're looking at on the screen. And you see a young actor, which would be Marley. And throughout these flashbacks, there's symbolism of different traumas or hardships that he experienced in his childhood that are potentially impacting him in that current moment. So I think the movie has a nice symmetry. It has a lot of parallels, and it's able to kind of go around and reach so deep into his life while staying in this short period of time.
Okay. Do you have the same feeling about the effectiveness of that, Caroline?
I'm not sure if the flashbacks and like the cutaway to the imagery fully portrays what it's trying to about like Bob's interiority, especially since the actor was giving a performance that seemed very dissociated, because that's what Bob was probably feeling at the time, with so much like political unrest happening and his rise to fame being so like sort of aggressive to him. And I feel like he was giving a dissociated performance, and because of that, it's kind of the job of the writer and director to find an avenue to give this interiority. And I feel like the symbolism of the Ring of Fire, especially since it was just one shot shown repeatedly, I feel like it didn't really give enough interiority, like show enough of what Bob was thinking to an audience who is seeing this film because they so desperately want to know more about Bob Marley. I feel like it wasn't really doing them service.
Tell me a little bit about what you mean by an actor giving a disassociated performance. I think I know what you mean. This is Kingsley Benadire we're talking about.
Yes.
But if you wanted more from it, what was he doing that you thought was not enough, or whether it's a script problem or a performance problem?
I just think it felt like he wasn't really connecting with those around him, and he didn't really deliver his lines, like, with sympathy, I suppose, or, like, he was connecting with anyone around him. But I felt like that was also a fault of the writing, because they didn't really put him in a lot of situations where he was having, like, deep interpersonal moments with other characters. I thought there was a scene where he was arguing with Rita, Lashana Lynch, and that really showed a lot of, like, what Bob was feeling. I feel like that did show some of his emotions because he had a great scene partner, but also because he was put in a situation where he could connect with someone on screen. There was also another scene where he was talking to the person that tried to assassinate him earlier, and I felt like there was also a lot of emotion in there. I just feel like they didn't give Benadire a lot of chances to connect with other characters on screen, and I felt like that was kind of a disservice.
I agree. I think that the overarching theme of the movie is his need for unity in his community, and I think they try to have his personal life kind of opposing that, where he's becoming disconnected from a lot of people. But I had trouble. I think they tried to introduce too many of his personal issues and had trouble actually wrapping them all up. And I think, like you're saying, there wasn't a lot of opportunities for him to connect with those characters that you see so often, like Rita Marley. And she's a great example of maybe the writing or her performance was a little bit better, even though the film wasn't about her. There was a little bit more depth to her performance. But it's tough to say whether he was written like that on purpose because of, like you said, these moments that were going on in his life. But there's a lot of sequences where he's just kind of spacing out. And like you said, with the flashback sequences, it starts with him on stage. He's usually kind of staring off distantly into the crowd. Humming starts, and then these same two scenes play over and over again. And I think the flashbacks are actually a perfect example of them maybe not being able to completely tie up some of those personal life loose ends, where the first time the flashbacks happen, I was really interested in it, and I thought it was beautiful and really cool. And it's these two scenes, one where he's writing in the car, laying his head on his mom's shoulder, and then another one with the Ring of Fire. And by the second or third time that those played in the exact same sequence where he's on stage, the humming starts, and the flashbacks happen, I started to just get confused about what the purpose of that was and maybe what, I don't know, what purpose it served and also how many more times we were going to see it, honestly.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a different opinion about how they portrayed Bob. So I think it's important to note that Rita Marley is a producer on the film. So her input is clearly able to be felt for her character and for Bob's character, knowing him as long as she did, as we saw, since what we believe to be their early teens or early 20s. So she's able to give the actor a little bit more insight than any of us would get, especially because we only saw, as a nation, community, global community, certain parts of Bob through the interviews. And it was noted that he generally gave few interviews, and he did die so young. So I also think, too, it's important to think about a lot of these moments aren't big climatic moments. They are personal moments. And not everybody's on all the time in their personal life. So I think we need to take a little bit of that into consideration when thinking about how maybe he is dissociating in his personal time because he doesn't have to be on for everyone else.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's really a matter of, like, is it for you or you or you effectively dramatized that he's sort of in this, what, this sort of shell of fame, and that he might, that plus the ganja plus a lot of other things might be just sort of, in a way, clouding his interactions. You know what I mean? I'm fascinated that we all agreed that if you had to pick out one element that really does work, it's Lashana Lynch, who was wonderful in The Woman King, a film I really liked a lot, and has a role that I was pleased was more than just the, quote, good woman behind the great man. It's a bigger part than that. And even if it's, as your point is, Stephanie, you know, very simple sort of domestic argument about, you know, a sort of a not quite holding up his end of the bargain husband. Just a simple kind of marital argument, but it goes on. That scene goes on in a way that feels different than the rest of the movie. It does to me a little bit. What's your feeling? Do you know the scene I'm talking about? Remember that?
Yeah, it's when Bob sees Rita talking to another man. I think that might have been it, and he expressed some jealousy, and then that just like brought up some like underlying problems in their relationship, and then they had this argument. And Lashana just gives a really good performance. Like, she has the whole film, but she really drew out the emotion from Benadir, I feel like, that we've been wanting to see. And I do believe that Bob did feel very isolated at the time, and that it was important for that to be in the film. But I feel like in order to make it a film people want to see, the director owes it to the audience to give them some sort of avenue to be invested in something, whether it be his interiority through maybe more effective symbolism and flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, we were talking off mic, and you were saying one way, there's another way to do that, sort of a shortcut to get in there, into the mind, behind the eyes of a subject, which is kind of a simple one. You saw it in I, Tanya, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, I said that. I was discussing the idea of a voiceover. I'm not sure if a voiceover would be so effective here, but in I, Tanya, definitely, especially since she was such like an outspoken gal, I feel like it really helped you get in her headspace and relate to her, and you're invested in her story. And I feel like even if this film is an accurate portrayal, is it a portrayal audiences are interested in? And there's definitely enough about Bob Marley to have audiences be interested, but I don't know if it was in here.
Okay, who likes reggae the most in here? Like, who grew up? Okay, talk to us about that.
Yeah, so my dad was a huge reggae fan, and my mom and dad almost had No Woman, No Cry as their wedding song, but they felt that maybe wasn't the time. but they were very close. That was definitely their song. So I have grown up listening to reggae and grown to love it through my dad. So it definitely was, I was very happy to see the film and to be able to dance along at the end, especially with One Love, and take note throughout the whole film of how many songs. It was such a, again, as I said in the beginning, so packed with the music.
Yeah.
And I think that is so necessary for this type of film, and it saves it sometimes in a sense, because obviously nothing's perfect, but the music was always timed well and I feel like used really effectively
throughout
the film.
Yeah, it's funny because it's the concert scenes are, it's not like the concert scenes in a movie like Bohemian Rhapsody, which is just like a party music all, kind of all the way. It is party music in a sense we're hearing, but it's a big variety of also protest music and different moods, and it's not that same kind of like good timey sound, although it's a very seductive sound, I think, and there's a reason it sold well everywhere. But Hannah, what's your feeling about how the movie actually dealt with the music, and will that be enough to make it a hit, do you think?
I totally agree with Stephanie that I think in some of the moments that it was lacking, I think that's where the music kind of picked up, and I definitely didn't listen to as much Bob Marley as Stephanie growing up, but I am a general fan of Bob Marley and reggae music. And I think there was, in these moments, we were kind of doubting the story or these performances. Like, the music really kind of takes back that feeling of, like, aesthetic. And same with the visuals. I thought even from the opening of the movie, like, the landscape, and I know they filmed in Jamaica, it was so beautiful, and even if there were certain aspects that were lacking, you really felt transported through the music and also the visuals that it curated. I was not expecting that movie to be as beautiful as it was, and that was definitely one of my main takeaways from it.
Yeah, and going along with that, I just think Kingsley Benadire's, his actual physical embodiment of the character of Bob, I felt like his physical embodiment of him was like fantastic. His singing was good, even though it was partially him, partially some old like recordings of Bob, but his singing was fantastic. The way he moved was fantastic. I thought the hair and makeup and costume, I feel like his portrayal, like purely looks wise, was right on. So I give everyone big credit for that.
And that's, I think, getting an artist visually right. It doesn't have to be like an absolute photocopy, but you know, people talk about Maestro, the movie about Leonard Bernstein, and what Bradley Cooper has done. You know, maybe did he go too far with like the fake nose and the prosthetic ears and all that? But you know, in the movie itself, it's, you know, it we like that. I think we like to be reassured that they gave it a try and it actually works. But I feel like we should acknowledge the strangeness of what we're actually doing when we four talk about a movie about a Jamaican reggae Rastafarian icon. You know, we have three very white people and one half Latino talking about, you know, it's a cultural leap we all take, and we all should take and must take, and own up to kind of, you know, who we are and what we know and who we aren't and what we don't know. I don't know. Do you feel any kind of sense of, I don't know where it comes in. Give me something right after that. Just who we are, don't know. Does anybody have anything to say off that? Just in what we don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to fully tackle themes like colorism in the movie as someone who has never experienced that. But I think that's like an important thing to acknowledge. Even there's numerous comparisons between Rita Marley's complexion and Bob Marley's, and him having an English father and how that affected his life and how he was maybe treated differently, or how that impacted his career and how that impacted the people around him as well. I can't fully dive into that as someone who has not had any, you know, experience with that or is not as well versed in that. But I think that was a really interesting part of the movie and an important theme that I picked out and I appreciated.
Yeah, it would have been crazy to leave that out of the film.
Yeah.
Because then you really are just whitewashing it.
Mm-hmm. Something I noticed was his demeanor in Jamaica and his demeanor in across the globe, not in, was it England?
Yeah, yeah, specifically, right. London.
Okay, in London. The change for him from being in Jamaica to London. You can see the joy drained from him in London, probably for many, many different reasons, but I think that's important to notice. And also that he did experience what I would consider racism in London when him and his friends were targeted by a white police officer. So I think the film is able to bring those things up and bring attention to that. And it's something that we should all take note of and be aware of. And
yeah, I do think it is nice to see like Bob Marley's message and what he stood for. And just like, it's just nice to see it be presented to maybe another whole audience, that maybe a younger audience, or to just be kind of put back in the culture, in the forefront of the culture again, and just to just remind people what he stood for. And it's just nice to see his story be shown. So,
and this was a message of peace, you know, in the end. And that, and then what do we see at the end of the film actually is the newsreel, the archival footage of him uniting the two warring leaders of the country, left and right, and at least for a time it worked. And anybody who saw the Grammys the other week cannot stop thinking or talking or just remembering what it was like to see Tracy Chapman and Luke Combs do Fast Car together. You have like a red state, blue state divide. You have two of the most different musicians on the planet. And yet that was it's music that got everybody sort of feeling the same thing. And I think there's a little bit of that going on with what Marley's music does, at least for me. And I don't know it very well, but if the movie does anything, it makes me want to hear more of it again.
Yeah, I think it just really overall shows his messages and his culture and his personality, and it's a great representation and story that deserved to be made into a biopic. And I think I'm very happy that it was made, and I'm sure a lot of others are very happy that that story is represented.
I guess I'd like to know, on the since we've covered a lot of ground already, is it a film you would see again yourself, or recommend to folks who, you know, let's say, know a little bit about Marley, like the music, but want to know more? Are they going to get it from this movie?
Knowing how much maybe my parents or their generation might know about Bob Marley, I think they would enjoy it. I think it would give them an introduction to a type of film that they may not watch on a regular basis, because it is very cinematic and technical. And I think they'd get to enjoy the music and learn a little bit more behind the scenes about him than they were able to get in his short time, in his short life.
I would say, even though I've voiced some complaints, I would say if you like Bob Marley, you should see the movie. If you're interested in it, you should see the movie. It makes you feel pretty good at the end of it. But I'm not sure if it is, if I view it as cinematically, I feel. But I definitely feel like it was a good and enjoyable watch.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. For people who love Bob Marley, this is the movie for you. But I was talking with Caroline and Stephanie earlier about how it's tough for me to say if I would recommend it to people, because I don't know if we are necessarily the target audience for a lot of biopics. This is for people, you know, the people that I've discussed it with, like my family members or anything like that. They seem a lot more interested in the story than I am, because this isn't someone whose music I really grew up with, or someone I knew of as, you know, a child or growing up, or a celebrity that I, you know, kept up with. So I think it's hard for me to say personally if I would watch it again, but I think generally if people got the chance to see it or were big fans of the genre of music or the artist, I think it's definitely worth watching. Even if, like Caroline said, even if there was some complaints, I think that there was definitely some very memorable parts of the movie and some redeemable qualities with the music and the aesthetics of it. So,
mm-hmm. Anna, Stephanie, Caroline, thank you for talking with us here today. Michael Phillips of the Chicago Tribune, and Bob Marley, One Love, opens February 14th. Thanks.